The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas are Behar and Bechukesai. However, I would like to dwell on the subject of Sfiras Eim and Lag BaOmer, which was yesterday. We have in the Torah where it states in Parshas Emor, Chov Gimel Posuk Tes Vov, Uspartem Lochem B'Mochores HaShabbos B'Yem Haviyachem Es Eim HaTnufa Sheva Shabboses T'mim Estieno, that from the day after Pesach you shall count from the time that you bring the Eimer 7 weeks. Ad Mimachores HaShabbos HaShviis Tisburu Chamishim Yom, until the 7th week, and you shall count a total of 49 days, and then it'll be the 50th day. And on that day, V'kraft Mincha Chadosh El Hashem, you shall bring a new offering, a new meal offering to Hashem. This is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. And these days were days of Simcha. They were the days between Pesach La'atzeres, between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos, between Geula and Shichrum in Mitzrayim, L'man Torah, from the redemption and freedom from Egypt to the giving of the Torah. And they were the days between the Mincha Chadosho of the Omer of Seorin until the Shtei Alechem Shelchitin, where we would bring the first crops of the barley, the beginning of the Sfiras HaOmer, and then at the end of the Omer, Sfiras HaOmer, at the end of the counting, on Shavuos, we would bring the loaves of the first crops of the wheat. Now the Gemara tells us, however, in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Omed Beis, that something which seemingly totally unrelated many generations after the giving of the Torah took place also during this time. The Gemara states as follows: Hey, lo omru shnaim eser elef zugim talmidim hoyel Rebbe Kiva megivas aranti peres. Rebbe Kiva had 24,000 disciples from Givas Arnon Tiferes. They spread through the entire Eretz Yisrael. V'kulan meisu b'perek echod. They all tragically died during one period of time. What was the reason? Because they did not give to each other proper honor. V'hoya olim shomim, and the world was desolate from Torah. At Shabbat Rebbe Kiva etzor Rabbeinu shebedorim, until Rebbe Kiva went to our rabbis in the Dorim in the south of Eretz Yisrael, v'shono lahem, and there he started to teach these people that were later to become the great rabbonim, the great rabbis of Klal Yisrael. And there were 5 of them: Rameya, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yesi, Reb Shimon, and Reb Lezer ben Shamua. V'heim heim hamidu Torah, Esusho. And it was these 5, through these 5, Torah was brought back to Yisrael. Tana, we learned, kulam meisu mipesach va'ad aseres. They all died from Chag HaPesach until Chag HaShavuos. Omer v'chama barabe v'itim v'rebchia barabe m'kula meisa misoro. They all died a very bitter death. Mahi omer av nachman askaro. They died from a death called askaro, which is a disease of the throat that does not allow one to be able to speak or to swallow. Now, this was a Very, very tragic period. 24,000 students, great Talmidim, Rabbi Kiva, the great sage, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was held as from a very, very great sages of the Mishnah. The Gemara Menachos compares him in some ways, or he excelled in some ways, to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Dorish, the Kisrei Aishias. He would expound the crowns of the letters of the Torah, which the Gemara says that Moshe did not know what their meaning was. And his disciples were extremely great, 24,000. And they all died. The reason given because Shaleino Ago Kovet Zelazer, they did not give each other the appropriate honor. And Kula Meso Beperikechot, and they all died during one period of time, Mipesach Varatzeres, during this time, from Pesach to Shavuos. Now, because of this, still today, this took place about 2,000 years ago. Because of this, still today, we mourn during this time. We have taken upon ourselves certain practices of avelus of mourning. For example, during this time, we do not make weddings, we do not take haircuts, we do not shave. And like the Omer, on the 33rd day of the Omer, we do not practice any avelus, mourning, but to the contrary. There in Shulchan Aruch is brought Marbin Sas B'Simcha. You should be Mesameach, a little more Mesameach on that day than you usually are on a regular day. Even on a regular day that's not during this time of mourning. And we make chasanas and we take haircuts and shaving and so forth. What is the reason for the Lag B'Omer, the 33rd day of the Omer, should be different? There are a number of reasons given. Some say because it was on that day they stopped to die. That was the end of the plague. And since they stopped to die, since the plague ended, therefore we make a simcha. The Gro, Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Tzad Gimel, brings a source. How do we know that you should make a simcha when a plague ends? He brings it from the Gemara at Enem Sech the Tainis and the Gemara in Baba Basra, which asks, Mishnah says, Lohoyu Yomim Tevim Li Yisrael, Nechamish Osa Ba'ov, V'yem HaKippurim, some of the greatest Yom Tevim to Yisrael during the Zman HaMikdosh was the 15th of Ov in Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, what was this, but why was the 15th of Ov a Yontif? Mori gives a number of reasons. One of the reasons given is because on that day was Pasku Mesei Hamidbor, the decree that all of those that came out of Egypt, the Dor Hamidbor, the generation that was in the desert, after the whole episode with the Maraglim, with the spies, they were decreed from 20 to 40 to 60 years old that they would die in the desert. And it was at that day, 40 years later, it ceased, that decree. And therefore they declared it a yantif. So we see that when there's an evil decree and it ceases, that's a time to make a ksas yantif. Others ask that you cannot say that they stopped dying on Lag B'Omer, on the 33rd day of the Omer, that they stopped, that the plague finished, or they stopped dying. Because the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says, Kulam Meisum Mipesach Varatzeres. They all died from Pesach to Shavuos. So the morale in the Sivas Eilam, in the Siva Torah, in Perek Yud Beis, in the Siv Avasreya Perek Gimel, in one of those two places, he explains that no, they didn't stop dying on Lag B'Omer, but the plague stopped. No one else was stricken with the plague after that time. They died for 32 days. The plague lasted for 32 days. The reason we'll bring later. And after 32 days, the plague went away. They continued to die, those that were already stricken with the plague from before. So that's why the Gemara says, Kulam Mesum Pesach Baratzeres. They died during the entire time. But no one became stricken with the plague after the first 32 days of the Omer, from the 33rd day onward. There are others who bring that the significance of Lag BaOmer was that this is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Kiva's great Talmud, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, from his greatest Talmidim. One of the five was Reb Shimon, who later on was to become a great Tano of a Mishnah, a great sage, and the master of the Nistar. He wrote the Zohar HaKodesh, of the concealed wisdoms of the Torah. And this was his Yahrzeit. Others say that he got married on this day. Still others say, the Gemara in Shabbos brings a story with Reb Shimon ben Yochai that he had to run away because he had spoken out against the Romans. And someone went and said it over and reached the ears of the Romans and they wanted to kill him. So he took his son Eleazar and they ran away into a cave and they hid there for years. So others say that the day they came out of the cave was the Lag BaOmer. So there are many reasons given. The Chidor, who he himself was a great Mekubal, says it's not the Yahrzeit. It's not true. Not his Yahrzeit. Brings that his Yahrzeit was a different time. And I think he brings that his wedding was a different time. But he says an interesting reason, that it was on Lag BaOmer that Rebbe Kiva, not necessarily from that year, I don't know if he's referring to that year or the next year, but that's when Rebbe Kiva decided he's going to try to raise up more Talmidim, and he went and he started to teach Torah again to the five disciples in the south. As it states, he went to the south. Now, let's see what we can learn from all of this. Now, firstly, we have to ask a number of questions. How is it that such a great Churban, such a great calamity, befell on Israel, and specifically on the Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva, who were so great, and his Rebbe was so great, and of such magnitude, 24,000, all of them great Talmidei Chachamim. And it would seem that the Gemara gives a reason, but that doesn't really seem sufficient. Merely they did not honor each other properly. Second question, why did this calamity take place coincidentally, Dafkin this time? Which, as we mentioned, are days of Simcha, very, very choshuva, very important days. The days between the two korbanos, the bringing of the first crops of the barley and the bringing of the first crops of the wheat. And the days we count of the going out of Egypt till Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, they were the preparation from Gula to Matan Torah. A third question, why do we still mourn this tragedy? Because even though it was a great tragedy, we have a principle that Ein Avelish Yesem Shleishim Yom. We mourn for 30 days and no more. And the Gemara says, Mi Godel Kemesha Rabbeinu, who's greater than Moshe? And still it states, Vayikva Am Shleishim Yom. They mourn for him 30 days and that's all. And this that we mourn for a father, all craving, all relatives, we mourn for 30 days. This that we mourn a father and mother for 12 months. Many are of the opinion this is not because of mourning. This is because of Kibbur Avim, to honor a father and mother. Like we see, even heaven forbid, a person loses a spouse, loses a child, which is even closer to him. The mourning is not more than 30 days. Yet here, we're still mourning. It's 2,000 years ago. It's what the Gemara calls Avelis Shishona, old Avelis. So we have these three questions. How is it that such a great calamity of 24,000 of the greatest Talmidei Chachomim met such a tragic death? And why during these days, Dafkia? And why are we still mourning for it? The Gemara in Masechta Chagiga and Daf Hei Amud Beis brings a posuk from Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu posuk Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel posuk Tesvov. Excuse me, posuk Yud Zayin. V'im la'is yishma'uha b'mishtorim Tifke nafshi mipnei geva. That you will hear in the concealed places. Weeping and the weeping will be because of the great majesty of Klal Yisrael, which has been fallen, which has become fallen. Vidamoa tidma, there will be tears. Viseired eini dima, and tears will fall from my eyes. Ki nishba eider Hashem, because the flocks of Hashem have gone into captivity. This is what Yirmiyahu said. The Gemara says, on this pasuk, Amar Rav Shmuel Barinam Ishmei Derav, Mokim Yesh LaKadosh Baruch Hu Umistorim Shmai. Kodesh Baruch Hu weeps. He weeps in the concealed places. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Lazar Shleish Dimos Halolu Lama. Three tears are mentioned in this pasuk. It says, V'damoa, that's one tear. Tidma, a second tear. V'seireid Eini Dima, and my eyes, from my eyes will fall tears. It's a third time. So tears are mentioned in this pasuk three times. So the Gemara asks, Shlosha Dimos Halolu. What are these three tears? Achas Amigdash Rishon. The first weeping is for the first base of Amigdash. Achas Amigdash Sheni. The second tear is for the second base of Amigdash. Achas al Yisrael shegolamim kaiman. The third tier is for Israel going into exile. Ikadamri, others say that the third tier is al bitul Torah, on the loss of Torah. So the Gemara says, Vishlam alaman deomas Yisrael shegolu. If you say it refers to Israel going into exile, that's why it says in the pasuk, Nishbar Eidar Hashem, because the flocks of Hashem have gone into captivity. Alaman deomas bitul Torah, but if you say that the weeping, the third weeping is for the loss of Torah, Maiki Nishbar Eidar Hashem, what does it mean that the flocks of Hashem have gone into captivity? Kivan shegolu Yisrael mim kaimen, Eilach bitul Torah gedele mizu. since they have gone into captivity, this causes the greatest bittul Torah, the greatest loss of Torah. So we see like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu weeps tears three times. Once for the first Beis HaMikdash, the Churban. A second for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. A third for the fact that Yisrael was exiled. And what is the reason why he weeps when Yisrael is exiled? Because of the bittul Torah, because of the loss of Torah, the exile causes. This is what the Gemara says. Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, in his Sefer Mishnas Rav Aaron, Chele Gimel, and Dav Tes Vov, and Dav Chof, he brings a medrash by Esav, that when Esav wept because Yaakov took the brachos from him, it states that Esav wept because Yaakov stole the brachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the tears to fall out of his eyes, because had he allowed the tears to fall out of his eyes, then this would have created too much compassion by Hashem, and this would have been too difficult for Yaakov and his children and later generations. Therefore, he made sure that the tears of Esav would not fall out of his eyes. So the Baran says a great insight. He says in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the three tears are mentioned, by the first tear it just says the Moa, by the second tear it says Tidma, but by the third time it says V'seirid Seirid Eini Dimo, the tears will come out of the eyes. So we see the third weeping is far stronger and greater than the first two. The first weeping was for the first Beis HaMikdash, its destruction. The second weeping was for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The third weeping, which is a far stronger weeping, that's for Israel that went into captivity because of the bittul Torah, the loss of Torah from the world that would cause. Two things we see from here. He says that firstly, that just like one has to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, he has to mourn when there is a loss of Torah to the world. And secondly, we see that the tzar, the pain to the Almighty, the avelus to the Almighty, is greater for the loss of Torah in the world than even the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. This is what Rav Aaron brings from this pasuk and this Gemara. Now, this puts a light into what we're asking. Actually, this is a droshi who was saying for Sfiras Ayman. It puts a light into it. Because there are only two times on our calendar that we mourn an Avelis Shoshana. We mourn for something that happened years ago. That's Ben HaMetzorim, the month of Av, and Sfira. The month of Av, the Gemara says, we mourn for the first Beis HaMikdash, its destruction, and the second Beis HaMikdash. And here in Sfira, we're not mourning for individuals. We're mourning for the voidness and the loss of Torah. Ha'olam ha'yoshomeh. The world became empty from Torah when the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. When we mourn for an individual, that is Shleishim Yom, 30 days. No more. But the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, that is as long as it's destroyed. If it's rebuilt after 70 years, good. If it's destroyed for 2,000 years, then we miss it. We must mourn all of the time. And even more so, we must mourn for the loss of Torah. Actually, it's interesting that we find another place where the Chazal tell us that someone is an ovel, mourns for the loss of Torah. It says that's the reason of a Shalom Zocher. Why do you make a Shalom Zocher for a newborn baby? Because the baby is an ovel. He mourns. And you come to be Mesameach. Because the Gemara says in the womb he's taught the entire Torah. And when he's born, the Malach comes and makes him forget it. So therefore when he's born, he's in mourning. Therefore, it's a mitzvah to come to be Mesameach. That's the purpose of the Shalom Zocher. This is what we see from this Gemara. So now we understand why we mourn on Sfiras Ha'emer, what we're mourning for, and why still after so many years. Now the second question: what was their hate? What did they do wrong that such a tragedy came upon them? The Gemara says, "Shleinogu kovet zelezeh." They did not honor each one appropriately. Excuse me, can you give me that red sitter there? Yeah, thank you. Naturally, one is obligated. It's always a mitzvah to give honor to someone, give respect, be nice to someone. But we don't find that in case a person doesn't, such a tragedy should befall him, heaven forbid. The explanation here is here we are speaking of giving honor in two dimensions. Firstly, to honor someone because he is a human being, he is a Tzelem Elokim, made in the image of Hashem. Secondly, to honor someone because of his Torah and because of the Torah you have learned from him. They were all great, very, very great Talmidei Chachamim. In regards to honoring a person because he's a person, the Maral explains that the greatest attribute that was given to the human being was that which it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man b'tzalmei, in his image. B'tzalem Elokim osa Yisrael. That tzalem, that image which he gave to man and only to man, that requires the greatest measure of honor. This tzelem, this image, is not physical at all. And the whole concept of honor is not physical. Honor is not something which the physical man enjoys. It's a tainug. It's not a physical pleasure. It's not like eating, it's not like drinking. The fact is, honor is not even something which is emotional. It's not love, it's not anger, it's not revenge, it's not joy. It's in a category by itself. Honor is totally non-physical. And when someone gives to someone else honor, he is giving him esteem, to the point where that person rises higher in his own eyes and in the eyes of others. Honor elevates a person. But it's not elevating him physically, and it's not elevating him emotionally. So what is it doing? It's elevating the Tzelem Elokim, the image which Hashem created in him. And Ana is Mishachis, Ana relates itself to the non-physical man, to the Seichel, to the soul of man. Now the Tzelem Elokim manifests itself in a light, in an aura, which Hashem gave in a great measure to the people he created. And this aura, this light, manifests itself in the face of a person. Chokhmas Odom Tohar Ponov. This is why it states that on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mavorek Shabbos with a greater light of a face. Because a person has an additional soul. And we find that when you honor someone, his face shines. He's elevated. It's that Tzelem that's elevated. And to the contrary, the Gemara says that what happens if you insult someone, you publicly embarrass someone? It says Ozul Sumke Osach Yura. The color of his face leaves him and he grows pale, because you have driven down the Tzelem Elokim with its aura, with its light. The Gemara says, "Kisho Adam Nitzrach Lebrius Nishtana Ponov." When a person has to go and come on to people for financial help, the color of his face changes, because the Tzelem made him into a king. Man was made into the king of this world. This he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a king. But if he has to go beg from others, Eis Malchus, no longer is he a king. And the color of his face changes. It affects the Tzelem. The Gemara in Brachas brings that Reb Lezer commanded his disciples. He says, "I'll teach you Orches Chaim. I'll teach you how to get life and how to get Olam Habo. Izaru Bechveid Chavreichem. Always be very, very careful about the esteem of your friends, of your colleagues. And then you will be Zeche to Olam Habo. Because when you give esteem to someone, then you are relating to his Tzelem, to that image, to that light, and that light comes from another world, and you are relating to that world. So this is the first dimension when it comes to giving cover to another person. Now there's a second dimension. If these people happen to be Talmidei Chachamim, so the Torah itself demands kovod. The concept of honor is especially related to Torah, because we said when you honor something, you elevate it, you give it esteem. And what is due honor? Something which is elevated. For example, we give honor to a king, we give honor to a president, someone who is elevated from the nation. There is nothing in the world that we have in this world that is elevated more than the Torah. The Torah is the greatest gift that was given to this world. It's the manifestation of the will of Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be evident in this world, it's through his Torah. It's his will, it's his Ratzon, it's his decree. So therefore, there is nothing that is more appropriate to receive honor than Torah. And Torah also is something which is totally non-physical. What else can we do for the Torah? We can't bring it to eat or to drink. This, when we take a Sefer Torah and we give it a beautiful mantle and we make a nice oran, like in the Mishkan, they made an oran out of atzei shittim, out of the best wood, and it was overlaid with gold. This was not for physical enjoyment of the Torah. This was for the tenu kovod l'Torah, for the honor of the Torah. Now, therefore, those that study the Torah and those that know the Torah, the Gemara says, we also must honor because of Torah delay, because of the Torah they have. As the Torah commands, "Mipnei seva tokum, v'adarta p'nei zokim," you shall rise before the wise. You shall honor the presence of the zakenim. Or kovod chachamim yincholu. Kovod, that belongs to the wise in Torah. Now, when it comes to giving honor to people of Torah, the greatest honor one is due to his rabbi, to his rabbi who teaches in Torah. States, "Ein kovod ki kfeid rabbah, hevi kfeid rabbah ki meira rabbah ki meira shamayim." He has to honor his rebbe like he honors heaven. But the Gemara tells us this doesn't only refer to a rebbe. This refers also to a chaver b'teira, to someone that you learn Torah together with as a chaver. Why? Because it's impossible that a chaver should not also be your rebbe. Because when you spend time learning Torah with a chaver, it's impossible that you should not learn something from him. It's a give and take. You're discussing things. He tells you something you didn't know. You tell him something you didn't know. He corrects you. He sharpens you. So it's impossible that you shouldn't learn from him. And therefore, one is obligated to honor his chaver just as one is obligated to honor his rebbe, because he becomes his rebbe. And this is the halacha: "Hevi kfeid chavercho ki kfeid rabuch." The honor of your chaver must be like the honor from your rebbe. Maybe you'll say, "No, from your rebbe I learn a lot of Torah. I hear all kinds of shurim and whatnot. But from my chaver, I only learn a little here, a little there." How much Torah must one learn from someone before he's obligated to give him honor? This depends on how much we value Torah. If someone says that the only Torah worth learning is a whole Masechta, well then, your chaver didn't teach you a whole Masechta. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that even Dover Echad, even one word from my Torah, is more dear to me than everything that I have in this world. And there's a Mishnah in Masechta Avos. The Mishnah says in Perek Shishi, Mishnah Gimel, "Halemed Mechaverei," a Mishnah that deals with our question. If you learn from your chaver, Perek Echod, one chapter, or Halocha Achos, or one Halocha, or Posek Echod, or one sentence, or Dibur Echod, or just one word, or Afilo Osachas, even one letter, Tzorech Linag Vayikovet, you have to give him honor because he has become your Rebbe. He has taught you Divrei Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even one word of my Torah is greater than this whole world. Shekein Motzino B'David Melech Yisrael. This is what we have found from David HaMelech. Sheleilaman Ma'achisofel Eleshnei Dvorim Bilvad. He learned from Achisofel only two things. Koro Rabbi, he called him my Rebbe. Alufay Umiyiduah. He called him my Rebbe, my teacher. My confident. Shenemar v'ato enosh kerki alufi midui v'halei dvorim kavachema ma David melech Yisrael. And if it, this is by David who was the king of Israel. Shalei lama en ma'achi sefer l'lishnei dvorim belvad. He learned only two things from him. And he called him his Rebbe and he gave him all of these titles. Halei min mechavere perek echor ha'alocha achas ha'posuk echor ha'dibur echor ha'afilo os achas. So someone who learns from his chaver a whole chapter or a whole halacha, or even one word, how much more so does he have to give him kovod? That's why the Gemara says, "Chaverim shebavol hoyukomim zemisha." That in Bavel, when they used to learn in the yeshivas, one chaver would stand up for the other, because it was impossible that he shouldn't have learned something from him. Now he has to give him kovod. So therefore, there are two dimensions here when we speak of giving kovod to a chaver in Torah. One is because he's a tzelem elokim, and not giving kovod is a bizayin to the tzelem. Giving kovod, you are elevating the image of Hashem. And two is, you have learned Torah from him. Not only is he Torah, but you have learned Torah, he is your Rebbe. And even on one word, he is still your Rebbe on one word. And therefore you have to give kovod to the Torah. Now, we find that in these two dimensions, these were the madregas of Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva in the Mishnah of Ovis, in Perigimel Mishnah Yud Ches, what did he teach? Rebbe Kiva said like this. Rebbe Kiva Aymer, Chobiv Odom Shenivra Betzelem. How dear is the person who was created in the Tzelem of Hashem, in the image of Hashem. Chiba Yisera Nodaslo. A great special love was made known to him, that he was created in the image of Hashem, as it states, Ki Betzelem Elokim Osa Asa Odom. Who is the one that taught this? That you have to give honor to a person, not only because he's a person, but because you're honoring the image of Hashem. Who taught that? Rebbe Kiva is the one that taught the world that. This is his teaching. And the Mishnah Oves, Masechta Oves, brings not merely teachings, brings every Tana specialized in certain areas. Hu hoyo eimer. This is what they would always teach, they would always say. And this is what Rebbe Kiva would always teach. This is regarding Treit Chavereichem. Now we said there's a second dimension, Kovod HaTorah, giving honor to the Torah. What was special about Rebbe Kiva giving honor to the Torah? We'll see. I think, can you give me a Masechta Kiddushin? Kiddushin. The Masechta Seita states as follows. Misha Meis Rebbe Kiva, Once Rabbi Akiva died, bottle Kovar HaTorah. Kovar HaTorah was lost from the world. When Rabbi Akiva died, when Rabbi Akiva lived, there was a dimension of Kovar HaTorah, honor of Torah in the world that never existed before. When he died, it was lost to the world. Where do we see this special honor of Torah from Rabbi Akiva? Rashi says as follows. Shohayinesin libay. Rabbi Akiva would give his heart, lidresh, to expound, kol kutz v'kotz, shall call ace, every stroke of the pen of every letter in the Torah. The kolshkein tevis yaseris, and certainly extra words in the Torah, the aceus yaseris, and extra letters in the Torah. Kegain bas ubas anidelish. He asked in one place why. One place it says daughter, and the other place it says ubas and daughter. Vizehu kovet Torah godl. And this is the greatest honor of Torah, because you hold Torah like a jewel, that there cannot be one extra stroke of the pen needlessly for no reason. Rebbe Akiva was the one that not only did he darshan, not only did he give his whole life to labor day and night to try to expound and understand and teach the meaning of every halacha in the Torah, of every sentence in the Torah, but even of every word in the Torah, and even every extra stroke of the pen which the Sefer Torah is written with. And the Rashi says this is the greatest cover that one can give to Torah. If you get a piece of junk mail, Lahabdil, $1,100 in the post, how much time do you spend looking at it? You look at it 1, 2, 3 and throw it away. If you're reading the newspaper, you read it fast and you throw it away the next day. It's garbage. Throw it away. If you get a book, you read it a little more carefully. Eventually you discard it. If someone gives you a letter from a king, you read it carefully, every word. You try to understand, why did he write this word and not that word? What is the meaning of this word? So people that learn Torah, and they ask, why did the Torah write like this? Well, wrote like this, what's the difference? What does it mean? Nafkimina. So it could have used that word, so it used this word. So it could have said it in one word, so it said it in 10 words. No difference. Well, they look at it lightly. This is the Igeres HaMelech. This is the letter from the King of all kings, the Melech Malchi Amlochim. And this is how Torah has to be approached. And this is how the words of the sages have to be approached. And this is what Rabbi Akiva taught to the world. He taught this to the world, where a new dimension of Kovar HaTorah came into the world with him. Umishameis, and when he died, bottle Kovar HaTorah. No one could duplicate it. That left. So we see that the Bekiva, his Torah was a certain type of Torah. It was a Torah that recognized the individual for what he was. He says, a person is not a person. A person is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki b'tzelem Elokim osa as Hashem. Hashem gave his own image to that person. And that's how you have to interact with another person. Torah is not a storybook. It's not a television program. It's not even a lecture that's given at university. It's not even a constitution that people write. It's the Igeres HaMelech, it's the document of the King of all kings. And this is how Torah must be studied. That one must give his life to understand every word in the Torah and why it was written in the Torah. This was Rabbi Kiva's Torah. And this is what he taught his Talmidim, his 24,000 Talmidim. Now we can understand why this was such a great chait by them. By others, this wouldn't have been a chait. We don't find when others do not give the proper honor to the Torah or the proper honor to a chaver, it's a great avera. We don't find that the world falls apart. But when a Mekiva's Talmidim that learned from such a Rebbe, and this is the Torah they learned. They learned Hu Haya Aimer. This is what he always taught them. What a person is. A person is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Tzelem of Elokim. By Abraham, when Abraham was speaking to Hashem and people came, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to go run and greet the guests. And the Gemara says, how could he interrupt his discussion with Hashem to go greet the guests? They happen to be Arabs coming. And it says, Gedola Kabbalah Spnei Orchim Mi Kabbalah Spnei Ashchina. From here we see that it's even greater to take care of travelers than to speak to Hashem. And the Maral says the reason why is because that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving honor to the Tzelem Elokim, to Hashem. And he taught them how one must approach Torah. That afilu dibur echor, afilu os achas, one word, one letter, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest treasure. And therefore, whoever you learn one word from or one letter, you have to call him Rabbi. And they could not reach this. They failed. They were tripped up in this. And therefore was pogo by Midas Hadid. The decree came that they were not worthy of Rabbi Kiva's Torah. The Kula Mason. And they all died at one time. And now we asked why in particular at this time. It was Datke particular at this time. Kula Mesu mi Pesach ar Atzeres. The Maral writes that this period of time is the time of Kabbalat Torah. What took place during this time? Chazal, the Israel went out of Egypt. At that time was like a ledo, the Chazal say. They were born. Now they had to rise to the level of the receiving of the Torah, to bring the Torah into the world. And the world was rising together with the Torah. And why was the Torah given after the counting of 7 weeks from going out of Egypt? Because it states B'yem Achamishim, because Torah was to be given on the 50th day. Because the Chazal tell us that there are 50 Shoorim, 50 gates. 50 gates of wisdom, one higher than the other. And the Shara Chamishim, the 50th, is the Shara Torah. That's the level of the Torah. And this is what was taking place during that time. And this takes place in the world all the time during that time. It states that the month of Iyor, which is the full month in this period, there are 3 months in this period, part of Nisan, all of Iyor, and part of Sivan. The month of Iyar, which is the full month during this time, is called Chodesh Ziv. Ziv means the month of shine. of illumination, which represents the light of Torah which is coming into the world at that time. And it was Dafka during this time that they, in their level, inadvertently was disgracing the Torah. And therefore, they lost the Torah. This was the great desolation that came to the world. And we mourn. And we still mourn. Because not only were they lost to the world, but Torah was lost to the world. The Torah of 24,000 Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were lost to the world, and that was a loss forever. And therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds tears on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash Rishon and the Mikdash Sheni, he sheds even more tears for the loss of Torah. So therefore, in Av, we mourn for the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the first and second Beis HaMikdash. And during Sfiras Omer, we mourn for the great loss of Torah. Now, we said the table turned though at Lag BaOmer. It's interesting, the Maral says that the gematria of Kovid, Chof, Beis, Vav, Dalet, is 32. That's the numerical value of the Hebrew word of Kovid. And the decree on them was a decree of 32 days because they did not fulfill the precept in accordance to their level of Kovid. After 32 days, the decree ceased. And Lag BaOmer was a new time now. It's also interesting to note, he brings out that Lag BaOmer always falls on Yud Ches Iyur, the 18th day of Iyur. Yud Ches is Chai, when a new life would start. Now, what Nechoma, what Tanchumin, what words of comfort can we learn from all of this? The Gemara says as follows. Gemara brings a posuk from Kehelis, a Gemara in Yevamos that we quoted before. Brings a posuk from Kehelis. And the posuk of Kehelis is, it's in Kehelis Yud, Kelish Yud Aleph, Posik Vov. Labeke Zeraya Zarecho, Velo Erev Al Tanach Yodecho. In the morning, you shall plant your seeds. In the evening, do not hold back from planting more. Ki Eintcho Yedea Eze Yichshar, Haze, Vimshneem Ki Echotovi. Because you never know which ones will turn out good. The Gemara says, what is this referring to? This is referring to two things, the Gemara says. First, it's referring to having children. If you married a woman in your youth, you had children, carry on, even in your older age, to have more children. Because you never know which ones will outlive the others. Rashi brings in Kehelis on that, he brings from a Medrash Metzinu be'aptzim. Aptzim with boys. Shleishim bonei sholachutzo u'shleishim bonei sevi levonov. He had 30 daughters and 30 sons. 30 daughters he sent to marry 30 young men. 30 daughters of others he brought into his house to marry his 30 sons. V'kulam mesu b'chayof. All of them died during his lifetime. U'beziknusay heilides oved. And when he was an old man, he married Rus, and he had one son. That son was Obed. Obed was the father of Yishai, and Yishai was the father of David HaMelech. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva darshan this pasuk differently. Not that it's referring to sons. He agreed it also does. But he says no. And he darshaned it from his own life's experience. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, if you study Torah when you were young, carry on and study Torah in your older years. If you raised up disciples in your youth, do not cease from raising up your disciples in your old age. In other words, he's saying don't retire. You taught and worked hard in your youth, don't say now the golden years. We will go into a retirement village. No. He says, no. Go back and teach in your old years. Why? And that's what Shlema Melech, King Solomon, is saying. Plant in your youth and do not stop planting in the morning, and do not start planting in the evening of years. Why? Because of his life's experience. In his good, healthy years, he was middle-aged then, he brought up 24,000 disciples. But during his lifetime, they all died, and his life's work was gone. He was an old man by that time. And naturally, he wanted to retire. He wanted enough. Until he decided no. He said, Omad, he got up. He went to the south, because there were five good potential disciples. And he sat down and opened a yeshiva for them. And he taught them Torah. And he wasn't concerned with numbers. After having a yeshiva of 24,000, he might have thought, five, what can I do? V'heim heim hamidu Torah b'Yisrael. And they were the ones that brought Torah back to Israel from not being forgotten forever. So therefore he darshaned, he says, Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, and Kehelis also was referring to this. You raise up and teach Torah and raise up Talmidim in your youth, carry on in your old age, because you never know which ones will last, who will become the great ones. And this we see something else that Shlema HaMelech said, what the Mishnah Novi says, Artishoish min apronias, don't become pessimistic, don't become broken, don't become disheartened from difficulty. Carry on. Don't philosophize too much. Just roll up your sleeves and get back to work. That's what Rabbi Kiva did. Carry on. Stay tzaddik, nafal sheva, bikom. Tzaddik falls seven times, he gets up. Does not say a tzaddik doesn't fall. Didn't say a tzaddik doesn't fall. Everyone falls. So then what is the difference between the tzaddik and the rosha? The rosha doesn't get up. The tzaddik, even though he'll fall seven times, he always gets up. And this is what we see from Rabbi Kiva. There was no one that got up like Rabbi Kiva. And this is very masim. This works out very well with the Tam of the Chidoh, that what took place on Lag BaOmer, that was the day Rabbi Akiva decided, enough mourning, enough. Now it's time to start building again. And states that he went, Achibor Rabbi Akiva Yitzel Rabbeinu Shevadorim, Bishona Lehem, and he taught the Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua, Veheim, Heim, Hamidu Torah, Ososho. They were the ones who brought back Torah to Israel in that hour. So this is what we can learn from the Sefiras HaOmer in regards to what took place in Rabbi Akiva's time and from Lag BaOmer.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.